listening to WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here in sunny, cool Coco, Florida today. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and all over the web on WWBC.
That's right, 1510 WWBC. You can hit the listen live button and hear us live streaming on any one of the devices that you have with you. Or if you'd like to hear the show afterward, we have it archived also on that same page. You just hit the on demand button and pick the date, and then we post them on our Facebook page as well as our website, cedamediainc.com. And over 14 years now, we finally hit that mark. We have all of those shows indexed, so you can just look for a topic or you can look for a person's name on there, and you'd be able to search for any of the shows that we've had over the years, Sita. Yeah. And what fantastic guests.
Oh, we've been truly blessed to have the best guests on our show and robust conversations. We don't have to agree all the time, and we've learned to agree to disagree sometimes with our guests. But having a voice on community radio and being able to have our voices heard, not just here in the United States, but around the world, is truly a blessing and a gift. It really is. And we're making a difference in some little way, right? So for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we sit here every Monday from 1 to 2, like Ellen said, going on 14 years, and we speak about kitchen table topics and things that are going on, not just in Brevard, but in the state of Florida, in our nation, and sometimes worldwide. And we like to say that our show is fun, it's unscripted, it's very educational, and our show adds a lot of value to life. And so today's no different. My really good friend, Stanley Breeze, is here, and he's the founder and CEO of the, I have so much scribbles here, the Brevard Prevention Coalition. Stanley, there you are. So right in front of me. That's what happens on live radio.
Well, and when you change, you know, honestly, when the organizations change names, sometimes it's hard to break old habits.
That's right. But I see my C. Eckerd. That's right.
I was with them.
And Stanley brought with him a good friend, Tara Gibson, and she's with the All Black Impact Foundation. I got that right. And her mom's my friend. And of course, Ellen Little is co-hosting as usual. The best friend anyone can have, and Allie Tambor is here. Thank you, Allie.
Certainly.
So, and of course, you know, I'm sounding like Baby James, of course. You know, we also have a call-in guest today. So Stanley Breeze will be second, and our call-in guest is the founder and CEO of the 1619 Project, Inc., not to be confused with the New York Times Nora Hannah Jones Project.
Nicole Hannah Jones.
So I was on Facebook as usual, surfing, doing my stuff, and I came across this really awesome gentleman, Mr. Calvin Pearson, the founder and CEO of the Project 1619. And I reached out to him and I said, I'd like to learn a little bit more about what you are doing in Virginia. And sure enough, boy, did I learn a lot about what he's doing. But for our audience who are tuning in, since this is African American History Month, we are doing our bit on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to get some really great information. And I'm going to let Mr. Pearson tell us a little bit about himself and his mission to promote the landing of the first enslaved African Americans here in North America. So, Mr. Pearson, you are on the phone. Good afternoon, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you for inviting me today. You know, you can read history in books, but it's good to hear history from the perspective of the people who write the history, who teach the history. I'm the founder of the 1619 movement. Created this movement in 1994 before a lot of this information started coming out. So So a lot of things that you read today in books and you hear people speaking about, we've been speaking about this history since 1994. So why is the history so important to me? It's important to me because I live 7 miles, and I'm here in Hampton, Virginia. I live 7 miles away from where the first ship arrived in 1619 carrying those first enslaved Africans. But our history was so distorted. I did not learn that history until I was in my 30s. Because history is so distorted, they only want you to know certain versions of history. They don't want you to know the true history of our African ancestors. So that's why I started this project in 1994. To just give the correct perspective of our ancestors. And a lot of times when I talk, I say our ancestors here in Hampton, Virginia, Fort Monroe, Point Comfort, were the first enslaved Africans kidnapped and brought to what would become the United States of America. And I'm glad I'm speaking to the people in Florida and other locations, because people in Florida says, no, you got the history wrong. The first Africans were in Florida. And I say, well, yeah, there were Africans in Florida in the early 1500s. But you got to realize that they came in as explorers, the great African explorers, and they came in with the explorers. But you got to realize that Florida was a Spanish colony. And if you go back and look at the history, Florida was not even allowed to be a member of the United States of America until 1845. So prior to 1845, they were considered a Spanish colony. So when we look at Virginia, Jamestown, 1607, became the first English colony in what would become the United States of America. So I make sure we get that point out, and why our claim to be the first landing site is so important, because we want to tell history accurately.
So you teach history to so many people, but what you said you learned this in your 30s. What got you started into this project? Because many people read and they don't really say, well, let me delve into this and see if I could prove something wrong that's been taught. That's not that, you know, and you decided that, wait a minute, no, you got it all wrong. What made you do that?
I am a retired City of Hampton employee. But when I was in grade school here in Hampton, we used to take bus excursions to Jamestown, and they used to tell us, well, this is where the first slave ship arrived, and these are your ancestors. And we believed it because we had no other reference. But being a city employee, I had access to the museums and other literature. Then one day I ran across a little blurb in a book that said, the first enslaved Africans landed at Point Comfort. And I said, that can't be true. They landed at Jamestown. So that started me on a 10-year journey where I did my research. And we came to the conclusion that whoever wrote that little blurb in a book was correct. We went back and we looked at a lot of research that had been produced in the last few years. And a lot of the research we were researching still had not been published yet. But it was beyond a doubt that those first enslaved Africans landed at Point Comfort, which is today's Fort Monroe. And what we found out was that in 1620, John Rolfe, the widow of Pocahontas, was at Point Comfort. On that fateful day in August when the ships arrived, John Rolfe was the secretary of the Virginia colony, and he had reported back to England everything that happened. And in his diary he wrote, the latter part of August of 1619, a ship arrived carrying 20-odd Negroes, to clean it up a little bit, who were exchanged for food. And Jamestown took that passage and changed it from Point Comfort to Jamestown.
So it's a good thing that you're some researcher. And your grassroots efforts also reached the White House in 2011. Talk to us about President Obama and what he did for your project by declaring Fort Monroe a national monument. How did you feel about that? And tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about that day.
Well, you know, this was a quick turnaround. Normally, this doesn't happen that quick. The message got to President Barack Obama that the Africans had landed at Point Comfort, and within about 18 months, which is unheard of, he decided that his first national monument would be Fort Monroe, and he declared Fort Monroe a national monument, and he said, this is the official landing site of those first enslaved Africans brought to Virginia, eventually became the United States of America. So to me, it was rewarding because he and other people around the country had realized that we had been telling the truth for 25 years, because in 1994, our focus was to tell the story and make sure that in 2019, the 400th anniversary of those arrival of those first Africans would be held in Hampton, Virginia, Fort Monroe.
Wow.
Where did they come from?
There was a war in Angola, Africa, West Africa, and started in 1618. The Portuguese had invaded what we call Angola, and they attacked the villages of Ndongo, Kabasa, the Congo, and they had captured 50,000 Africans in their campaign against the Africans. And in May of 1619, they loaded 350 Africans aboard a Spanish ship called the San Juan Batista. They were headed for Veracruz, Mexico, and in the Mexico, in the Bay of Campeche, in the Gulf of Mexico, two pirate ships, the White Lion and the Treasure, attacked a Spanish slave ship because they thought it was carrying gold and silver, because it was a galleon ship, and galleon ships don't normally carry slaves or Africans. And so because of this accidental capture of Africans, they were taken to Virginia. But Virginia had never planned to import Africans from Africa, because slavery had been abolished in England, and so slavery did not exist in Virginia at that time. So there's a long story about how they tried to shroud, how they tried to hide the Africans. They did not want England to know that they had accepted Africans who had been captured off of a slave ship. So there's a long story about the cover-up.
Yeah, and you know, I think one of the things you touch on, I looked at your videos and I saw, you know, a lot of news clippings about your project. A lot of misinformation is out there about the Africans who came from Angola and other areas in Africa and their skills. According to your research, they were very skilled. You were talking people who were royalty, people who were, in today's world, engineers. They knew what they were doing, but the lay person out here think, oh, they were just brought here as slaves. But you're saying that these people were highly skilled, the ones, according to you, they were kidnapped.
You know, if you go back and look at the history books, and you look at Before the Mayflower by LeRon Bennett Jr., he tried to tell us that our ancestors were more than slaves. When we started looking at the Great Pyramids, and he talks about our ancestors were pharaohs and queens and kings and Nefertiti, all these people were of dark color skin. So when we look at the enslaved Africans who were brought here, if we take you back to Africa, back in Africa, they were growing tobacco and corn and beans. They were building huts. They were into agronomy. They were constructioners. They were astronomers. They were into midwifery. They had their own religion. They had their own music. People don't realize that in Angola, when the Portuguese invaded them in the late 1500s, one of the reasons was to teach them about Christianity. The Africans in the Angola region had been living in Christianity for 50 years before they were captured and attacked and kidnapped, so they had already been baptized. They had names such as Antony and Isabella and Elizabeth and William and Pedro. So it wasn't like Kunta Kinte. Nobody had to give them a name. They already had Christian names when they arrived here. So it was the skills of these Africans that built the Virginia colony.
Well, Mr. Yes. Pearson, you know, we appreciate the education you're giving us on Viewpoint with Cena and Friends. I just want to tell our listeners, we are speaking with Mr. Calvin Pearson. He's the founder and CEO of Project 1619, Inc. Now, you liken the what you learned in your research, the transatlantic slave trade was just like the elimination of the Native Americans in the United States. And you compare that, and I agree with you, it's the worst human tragedy ever, and it did change our world. And your the mission of the 1619 Project is to use the past to make the present better and leave a better future for the children of tomorrow. And I love that mission. So talk to us a little bit about you likening the transatlantic slave trade to what happened to the Native Americans, because if we don't speak about history, we're going to lose it. If we don't teach history, people wouldn't know about the people that came before us and the sacrifices they made so we could stand on our own two feet. And a lot of people don't want us to teach history and the way it was. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, when you you look at the Holocaust, and they estimated 6 million Jews were killed. When we look at Africa, we say that there were 30 million Africans captured that affected over 60 million lives. The Africans call it the Great Maafa. When you look at 12.5 million Africans captured from West Africa, and you look at 17 million Africans captured from the east side of, or East Africa by the Arabs, and you look at all the lives that were lost in the battles, it easily equates to about 60 million people. And so we talk about the greatest transgression of man against mankind in the world, it's got to be the transatlantic slave trade and capturing people from Africa and sending them to foreign lands.
Yes, yes. And you teach from a place of healing and love and unity and harmony, but what can we do to get more young people to listen to what you're saying and learn from it? Because I was talking to someone and I said, you know, you're calling in on the show today, an African-American lady, and she was like, well, I don't have time to look at things like that. I don't really get myself involved with that. I just wake up every day and I live. And I'm like, no, but you have children. You should want to know your history and your ancestry and, you know, where your people came from. And she's like, no, I'm not really interested. So how do we get more people to listen to the elders, read books, sit down with their grandparents, sit down with their community elders, and learn about history to make the world a better place?
Well, our organization is all about healing and reconciliation. That's the starting point. Our organization does not blame or shame anyone, because we or they or the ones living today did not have a lot of control over what happened 420-some years ago. So we're into reconciliation and healing. We invite all people come out to our ceremonies where we do a reconciliation and healing program, where we take people down to the water and we cleanse them with water. We don't care what nationality they are. I've had people come to the event from Holland, the Netherlands, where they were major slave traders, and people come to Hampton and ask for forgiveness for what their ancestors did 400, 500, 600 years ago. So young people today, that's why I told you earlier that I'm into education. I'm into trying to teach our young people that we're more than what you think you are. We need to be proud of who we are. We need to be proud of our ancestors, that that we have been given so much, but we also have been given so little. When I go out and speak to the young people today, they talk to me about they have no hope for tomorrow, that they're probably going to die within the next couple of years by gunshot. They have no hope. So we've got to provide them some self-education. We've got to provide them opportunity. People want to kill affirmative action, but we got to keep affirmative action there because we still do not live on an equal playing field. I mean, we were 250 years behind so-called white people to try to establish ourselves here in this country. So we may never catch up. Now, some of our people are doing good, but the majority of our people are still not doing well. So we've got to find a way to bring those people up.
Right, and it's always about education and opportunities, right? It always is. And I take that one step further, and I say to young people, you know, my ancestors came from India, and I learned most of the stuff I know about history from listening to grandparents, listening to the elders. Believe it or not, if you go to a funeral or a wedding and you listen to the priest, when they're talking about the ceremonies, you learn a lot about history and culture. But in today's world, people want to dress up and go to the reception part, but they don't want to listen to the priest. You know, so I always tell people, in addition to books and films, most important thing is listening to people like you, Mr. Pearson, who put in the time. But I have a quick question before we have a couple of minutes. Do you ever get any pushback from the people who were teaching the history before you talked about what you researched and what you found at Point Comfort?
I'm still getting pushback. I've talked to a lot of black history professors around the country when I was doing this research, and they would tell me that we were taught the first enslaved Africans landed at Jamestown, and that's what we're going to teach. And they're still doing it today in some colleges and some institutions. These old-timers, they don't want to come into the new time and teach the current history that we've proven to be correct. So, you know, there's a lot of pushback.
So if you look at the, this is Ellen, by the way. It's so good to talk to you, and thank you so much for the education today. I was looking online for the ways that people could connect with the 1619 Project, and the New York Times seems to have a very nice spread on not just the podcast, but also clips from Live at the Smithsonian. So where are some other places that people can connect? Because, again, this is a big history that we're talking about, and changing ideals or changing the way things that people might have learned things before. So what's a great place to start? Is there a website that you feel that's the best way to connect and start getting this sort of like at a garden hose pace rather than a fire hose pace? Because there's a lot.
Well, we've encouraged people to go to our website, project1619.org, where we've got a wealth of information.
I also noticed that the Pulitzer Center also has a great spread as well. So I hope that you guys are up for a Pulitzer Prize. That would be awesome.
Yeah, one of the differences of our organization is that we only talk about the first six generations of the Africans from 1619 until 1705. These other organizations are doing a national exhibit presentation of the last 420 years.
Right, right. So yours. So we don't want to confuse yours with the New York Times project done by Nicole Hannah-Jones.
So
tell us a little bit. I am interested in one person in particular that you talk about a lot. And his name is William Tucker, and he's the first documented African child born in English North America.
Okay.
How did you figure out his name? That's a lot of research.
A lot of this information is documented in the census records, in the muster records in Virginia in 1623-24. We know that when the first ship arrived here at Point Comfort, Captain William Tucker, who is a commanding officer at Point Comfort, he had his choice, and he took two Africans off the first ship, Anthony and Isabella, and he took them to his plantation to be two of his servants. In 1623, Anthony and Isabella gave birth to the first African child born and baptized in English North America, and they named him William Tucker, after the plantation owner.
So and their names were Anthony and Isabella. What beautiful names. Because, you know, in today's world, children are being taught in school that the Africans had to adopt names from their slave masters or whatever the plantation owners gave them. You know, but some of them had their names when they came, and that's so beautiful that that was documented.
Yeah, the Africans in Angola had already been baptized and had already received their names. So when Anthony and Isabella landed here or were brought here, they were able to communicate to the master that their names were Isabella and Anthony, because these Africans, they spoke Portuguese, they spoke a little French, they spoke their dialect of Kumbundo. It wasn't difficult for them to pick up the English language. So
right.
1623, their baby is born, and so all this is in the census records in Virginia from 1623-24, where they name in the census records that Captain William Tucker has Anthony, he has Isabella, and they have a baby named William.
Wow. So we have 2 minutes left, and you spoke a little bit in your piece, I noticed, about the drummers, the African culture, the rich culture. Now, I'm from Trinidad and Tobago, and we have steel band and calypso. And I understand drums. So with the last 2 minutes we have, talk a little bit about the culture and how rich it was, and it sustained and fed the people. It was almost like the happiest times were when they had those drums.
Yeah, we do African Landing Day every August, and we bring out the African drummers, and we bring out the African dancers. And it's a real festive moment to hear the drums. We call them the African beats from Africa, and we know that music in America came from Africa. The banjo and the drums, all this stuff came from Africa. So when we start talking about the food, how could America survive if we didn't have African food, soul food? There was just so much that the Africans brought here. They were midwives, and whenever a white plantation owner's wife had a child, they called in the African women to be midwives. I mean, it's just so much information that we've got about how they grew tobacco and corn here in Virginia that saved the Virginia colony. And there we know that the entire South, they prospered off corn, rice, and so forth that came from Africa. So we just have so much value. We added so much value to this country that people just don't want to give us credit for it. And now we got CRT, and people are finding out that their ancestors owned slaves and so forth, and they just don't want that history to be known.
Right, right. Well, in 30 seconds or less, if you met someone and they ask you to tell them about your Project 1619, what would you tell them in 30 seconds or less is your mission? So, because we only have like 30 seconds left before your segment ends.
Yeah, I would tell them that they need to go to project1619.org and learn the history of their people. We are the beginning. Point Comfort is ground zero. We are the birthplace of African-American history here in English North America. And they'll learn a lot just by going to our website.
That's fantastic. And what great information. We'll make sure that we share all of that on our website and also on our Facebook page to get more people interested in learning about all of this great history and the great research that you and your team have done. So kudos to you. And speaking of Africa, Sita, we had a great little PSA to talk about. We have some great friends right here in Brevard County that are doing a Kenyan Young Man Empowerment Summit. They're doing it in Eldoret, Kenya. And the mission of it is to better equip young men all over the world. At the summit, they're going to learn basic life skills, team building, and character development, amongst other dynamic teachings. The target age of this group for the summit is 17 to 24. And the summit is going to be held the 26th and 27th of May. And that's going to be done at the Moiben Technical and Vocational College in Eldoret, Kenya. So we'll make sure that we also post that information as well on that same broadcast. But we have to listen to our sponsors real quick, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9.
When you mattress need medical and care, furniture.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads. 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000. Or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
Is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Choctaw Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at
There's something special about the place
today.
We call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. Wow, what a great segment. A lot of education. It's amazing when you open your mind and your heart and you listen to other people, what you could learn. And so our show, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, is heard all over the world and right here in Florida, right here in Brevard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7.
And all over the World Wide Web, you can hit that 1510wbc.com. And there are two buttons on there. One is Listen Live, so you can listen on any one of your listening devices right away. Or if you'd like to hear the show afterward, there's an archived area that you just hit that On Demand button, pick the date. We also post those on our Facebook page, as well as our cetamediainc.com website.
You know what I love about our show is freedom of speech comes with a responsibility, and we play nice.
Yeah,
we really do. We keep everything in the middle. where we understand and agree and disagree, but we try to educate people.
Well, I think we're just open-minded, too, about everything. Like, everything is good. Everything is okay.
Well, we woke up today. What could be more beautiful, right? So, in studio, we have our friend Stanley Breeze. And Stanley, I wrote it down this time, Brevard Prevention Coalition Executive Director, and he brought with him Tara Gibson with the All Black Impact Foundation. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having
us. It's really awesome to have both of you in the studio. You took the time to be here to share valuable information with our listeners. And we just want to give a shout out for February for the importance of African American History Month.
And how cool you were able to meet Tara's mom and didn't even know it.
It's it's very important. So we're going to start off with you, Stanley. You've been doing a lot of things, and today this is who you're with. So talk to us a little bit about your coalition.
We have been so busy. Thanks for having us again today. So Brevard Prevention Coalition's goal is to really help this area, help Brevard County specifically, but by extension, our whole region, by reducing the overdose issues we're having, substance use issue, the addiction issues we're having. A lot of that comes with awareness and education and removing the stigma around even talking about that. And of course, it connects to mental health because a lot of people are using illicit substances to cope and to self-medicate.
Emotional pain,
trauma.
Their soul is damaged.
Yep. So everything that we do really is around that mission, that goal.
Right. And the name, the Brevard Prevention Coalition. So you're trying to be proactive.
Correct.
You're trying to get people before stuff happens.
And a lot of people don't realize that comes with more than just don't do drugs. It comes with a deeper message. It's front-loading people with the resources they need to be successful in society. Getting them the resources that are present and available to them in the community so that they don't have the added stressors, or we can reduce the added stressors that make it difficult to stay away from illicit drug use.
Right. And you know what? We are very blessed in Brevard. There's an abundance of giving in this community. People, if you reach out to people, they're so kind, they're helpful, a lot of compassion, and the resources are there, but people have to know who you are. It's about marketing, messaging.
Have to get the word out.
So, yeah, they have to get the word out. And so I guess it's a good time to go to Tara, too. We'll go back and forth with both of you. So, Tara, I love your name, Tara Gibson. you do look like your mom, come to think of it. So how did you get involved with what Stanley's doing?
Yeah, so...
You're doing great.
I'm honored to be here, and thank you so much for having us. This is awesome. So I'm here actually on behalf of the Hassel Foundation, JT Hassel. He's a pro football player from the area, and this is really something that he's really passionate about, and so we're working with him to tap into the mental health piece, because he is very passionate about mental health, especially mental health with the kids. He grew up with a disability, only having two fingers on his left hand, so he experienced bullying and then just issues within his own self was having that. But he was able to make it to the NFL despite having that disability, despite having the issues that he had emotionally. And so he wants to use his platform to help others, you know, with their journey. And so with that, and then what Stanley is doing, alongside with the support of Parish Medical Center, we're being able to put on this event in March, and we're just really excited about bringing this to the community.
Yeah, and you know, so Stanley, it sounds like there's so many people with self-esteem issues that starts in childhood, and so many people with mental health issues. And it doesn't matter who they grow up to be, they've had those issues. And are you seeing a lot of
Absolutely. So that's why this event we're doing, Smile From Within, on March 11th in Titusville, is so important. It, no matter what their issues were, maybe self-esteem, maybe there was experienced trauma, whatever it was that brought them to where they are now in life, it is so important for us to make sure we help people have the resources, but also the internal strength to deal with that and build them up. So we are seeing a lot of that. I also do addictions counseling throughout the week at one of the clinics. And I will say that is a common thread. Something made them feel a certain
way.
Like
an outcast.
Yeah, you know, something made them feel that way. And it continues to use the stigma, though. That's what's so vicious about addiction and also people not getting the help they need with mental health, is once that becomes an issue, the stigma of even admitting that you need help holds people back from getting help. So the Smile From Within event on March 11th, and I'll plug from 1 to 5, March 11th at Gibson Youth Center, the fields there, free event for the community. We're going to have so many resources out
there. You're going to have food?
Food.
Food truck.
Yes, food, mental health resources, addiction resources. We're trying to get every social services provider to be out there, even if it's for food assistance, for housing assistance, medical assistance, anything. We want everyone out there. But in addition to that, and Tara, you can always jump in as well, the importance of having JT Hassel out there in the Hassel Foundation is he is an advocate for mental health awareness, especially for young people. And they'll be doing a free football camp. Now, they have to register on the website, and we'll drop that in a moment. And they're also doing a cheer camp. So we have Kamari Famar, a former pro cheerleader, doing cheer camp for those that want to do cheerleading. So that's getting the whole physical health, mental health, mind, body, all of that coming together. So we're just really excited to have
that. Trying to heal.
And how empowering,
body, mind, and spirit.
How empowering for people to see that you can heal. You know, yes. The people that go to these events hopefully are also the people that are on the other side of their addiction and on the other side of, I don't know that you ever get rid of it. It's something that, you know, it's like diabetes sometimes. You're like, it's forever and you have to always think about it. So the fact that you have it available for all ages and, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are or what you're going through, that the availability of resources will be there for everyone in the community.
And I know we have, like, we always have limited time on these shows. We could talk forever about it. But something that you just mentioned, Ellen, that I really want to impress upon individuals. You mentioned diabetes, for instance. If people looked at addiction and using that disease model, we talk about substance use disorder, specifically the big issue we're having in this county is opiate use disorder. But there's so many ways to get help. So some might need medication-assisted treatment, just like people with diabetes need insulin.
That have diabetes sometimes get the stigma, well, stop eating the donuts, silly, right? You know, like, just stop doing the drugs. It's that simple, but it's not simple.
It's definitely not that simple. And I wanted to add to that as well, finding help in any way that you possibly could.
Yeah, like
find
walking,
help.
Yoga, meditation.
So many different things. Yeah. Healthier lifestyle can help as well. Healthier things to focus on. It is a lifelong thing that individuals may have to struggle with forever, but they do it day by day.
But don't you think that comes, like, you know, they say live by example? Like, if you have a child who's having an issue, you have to do your part, right? And Tara, I'm going to let you jump in here. Like, you know, we always say live by example. If you're eating the donuts, 12 at a sitting, your children are going to do the same. If you're not reading books, your children won't read books. So sometimes it's so easy, you know, for people to say, well, we have all these issues going on. But sometimes you got to look into your own home and see what's going on, right?
Yeah, and that's why we're definitely teaming up with Stanley to add the adult piece, because we feel like the adult is the head of the family. They do the grocery shopping, right? They're what their kids are looking up to. So it's important for the adult in the household to be whole so that they can help their child to be whole as well, right? And when you mentioned something that was important too, because when you talk about healing, not only the people that have the addiction needs to heal, but the people that are being affected indirectly with that. Like if you have a child that's been on or a family member, like we have in our family, we have, you know, families that experience addiction members. That's also traumatizing to us as well. So it's not just for people who directly have been affected by addiction or mental health issues, but if those supporting them as well. So we want everybody to feel welcome, everybody to come out, get the information. If it's not you, it may be somebody you know or in your community where you can take the information back to your home
and share the knowledge.
And share the knowledge.
And I think the message too is always like overcoming.
Right.
You know, and families are going to go through tough times. But, you know, the children need to see, how do you overcome it? As an adult, how do you overcome it?
We know in Trinidad how you overcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You buckle down.
They tell you, you know, and it works sometimes. But Tara, what are the purposes of the Hassel Foundation and the All Black Impact Foundation? And it was created to motivate people, right?
Yeah.
So what is their chief purpose?
Yeah, it was. And so, you know, JT, I know for him, it's just to use his platform to help bring awareness, you know, to the mental health issues, show that there's resources and that there's hope for people to be better, right? He understands that kids look up to him. Even adults look up to him. And so he realizes the power of his platform. He's taken hold of that. For us, you know, working with him, we help him build all of that out. How do we make this work, right? How do we use football to educate. So we call it edutainment, right? We're educating because it's going to be a great event. We're going to have live entertainment. You know, it's going to be a really great, fun, family fun, exciting event. So we want people to come out and don't stereotype us. You know, we're talking about addiction and stuff like that, which is real, but we're going to wrap it in fun so people can have a good time. So, but once that emotional high wears off, and excuse my use of high, but once that wears off, you know, we want you to have something solid, you know, that you can take home with you to apply.
Right, and use it year round.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, you're giving us valuable information. And Stanley, so let's talk a little bit about the Brevard Prevention Coalition Move Into Light Initiative.
Yes. You,
man.
That's a mouthful.
It feels good to have a nonprofit in town that's looking not just into addiction, but the whole well-being, the psychosocial needs of people, right? So
we are really, really happy to be part of that and part of the positive movement. And we want every agency, every nonprofit to be part of this. It's a community effort. And so Move Into Light is an initiative we started. Last year it was an event we had in Titusville. Tara had her event, Smile From Within. And so we're merging this year to make it the Smiling From Within event. But the goal of that is to remove the stigma that's stopping people from getting help or preventing people from getting help for mental health and substance use issues. And so by reframing that, moving to light, and Tara made a great point, it's not just about the individuals that may be suffering with these things themselves, but also their family members, their workmates, their friends.
Their pets.
You know, I don't
Lord knows your pets get affected with your mood swings.
You know, even your pets, absolutely. Yeah. So everything's included in that. And so we're doing our utmost to just educate people on the little things. There's, for instance, reframing. So once again, addiction. Having a substance use disorder, we're not calling people junkie and addicts because that stopped so many people from getting help before. Even in the mental health arena, they no longer use the term committed suicide because there's such a negative connotation around committing something, like crimes,
right,
et cetera. So now it's the person died by suicide.
Yeah, it's all about the messaging, right? Well, politicians need that too.
How you word it.
Yeah. So Tara, tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, when did the Smile From Within event start? This is not the first rodeo.
No, it's not. This is our third year.
Third?
Yes.
Jeez, where were you the last 2 years?
She was there.
I'm glad you're here because I've never heard of it.
That's what we're partnering. Get the word out.
Exactly. And we're very grateful for the partnership. But this is the third year. Last year we had over 500 attendees. And that's just through word of mouth grassroots movement, right?
That's fabulous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a lot of people that came out, Stanley and them were there to support us as well. So we're very happy to have them. So we're looking for it to be even bigger. So we're expecting a lot of people. We have lots of space for everybody. You can bring your own chair. Please, and we'll have some chairs and stuff there for you. It is an outdoor event, so be prepared for that. And we're just really working on having free food for everybody that comes out. I'm still in negotiations with that, but we're hoping to have a really great event where we can feed the people, not only in their bodies, but in their minds as well.
Right. And Stanley, you're so blessed, Stanley, because even when you did stuff with the group you were with before, which we still see you as at, you were able to get so many community partners on board. Because people trust you. So tell us about some of the other community partners that you have that are helping with this event.
Thank you for your kind words. I try my best every day.
I still see you at one of the houses that I met you, were running around. I'm like, that's Stanley.
Running around doing stuff. I'm as perfect as everyone else as I try my best.
Yes.
Definitely. So it goes back to what you were saying, the Move Into Light initiative. It is something that we're doing. So moveintolight.org, by the way, is where you can find information on this event and our initiative for this. And the goal is really, once again, to pull in all our community supporters. If you want to be a vendor for social services or for any kind of community service that you want to share, go to that website, moveintolight.org. There is a vendor fee for vendors, but it's free for the community, for everyone to show up. I wanted to drop that as well.
Right. And Tara, what do you think, as you sit here talking to us, and I know the wheels of spinning in your head, right? What do you think you can accomplish from the event this year?
A ripple effect, you know, and Stanley does his work year-round, right? But we're here to support him and just, you know, continue the ripple effect because we feel like, although, you know, like you said, you haven't heard of us, but we feel like we're dropping that small pebble in the water and it just ripples throughout the county. Because Stanley has some really troubling numbers. I think he said that here in the county, we're higher than Dade County as well as Orange County in regards to our fentanyl overdoses or overdoses period. Was that it, Stanley?
So, yes, drug-related overdose deaths, Brevard County, our rate is higher than Orange County and Miami-Dade County.
And it has nothing to do with socioeconomic status.
Not at all.
Not at all. People think it's only, you know, the poor
zip
kids.
Code. Yeah.
It's not about that. I see you're shaking your take
yes,
it away, baby.
Exactly, and that's what's so important for people to understand. This is crossing racial lines,
ethnic lines.
Yeah, all of that. Like, this hits all of us. So this is a human mankind problem, right? And so that's why we're encouraging everybody to come out and be supportive, because it will touch you in your life, whether indirectly or directly. You will feel this.
Yeah. And one of the things that, like, I've seen in Brevard County is that there's been a lot of programs and social programs available. But then you have somebody that has an addiction problem, and they go for help, and they're either turned away or there's a waiting list or all of those types of things. And what I've told them is that you don't know what you don't know, and you have to get connected with somebody first, so that, because there are so many programs that are out there that folks don't know. Like, we didn't know about the last 2 years that you had this going on. So,
well,
you know,
Stanley,
the challenge
is right is saying effect. Prevention. I think the trick is to catch the children when they're young. You know, school mental health counselors need to be on lookout. People in the community have to be on the lookout. You know, everybody, it's a village, right? It's not about one person doing it. It's everybody putting in their 2 cents, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? It takes everybody, which is why we do our best to address every sector of the community with this. It's business owners. It's restaurants. Of course, it's hospitals and your medical field, but it's also the schools. And teaching children how to respond to it, but also teaching the adults how to respond to it properly.
Well, you know,
I remember listening to a restaurant manager that said every morning he looked in the who was arrested the night before to see who wasn't coming into work.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And I said, "That have we really gotten to that? Is that where we're at?
So how much time do we have? We have a couple of minutes left. I want to talk about the event, where it's taking place, the date, the time. We want to say it loud and clear. We want to let people know,
again.
Is it pet friendly? So let's talk about the actual, let's pretend we're there, the day and the date and everything.
Want me to do it? You want to go, Tara?
You go ahead.
Okay. March 11th, it's a Saturday, from 1 to 5 p.m. It's at Gibson Youth Center. There's fields right there next to it that we will be having this event outside. That's 835 Sycamore Street, Titusville, Florida. There'll be food. A guest speaker, we have Lucas Boyce, who has, once you go to our website, you'll be able to see more of the info on that. Kristen Warren, Tiffany Childs, and many more. Like Tara said, it's going to be fun.
Did you reach out to Bukowska to see if the guys who play the steel bands could come?
Tara, you want to?
No, we didn't, because though it's 1 to 5, we don't have a lot of time, so we wanted to make sure we honor everybody's time.
Yeah, and the speakers, yeah. Well, maybe in the future, because like the gentleman, Mr. Pearson, was talking about the drums, they've got them calypso. I mean, they're good, you know?
See, it's all about the calypso and the curry.
Well, that's it.
Food rules.
So,
food always rules.
So Stanley, you know, you touch on a lot of great things when you come on the show, and I want our listeners to know that although we speak about, you know, what's going on with the overdose and the people who are passing away from drug overdose and all, there's so much stuff in a community on a daily basis that people can do to help themselves mentally and physically and emotionally. And you and I, we have family members that we've had to help with this kind of stuff. So talk to our listeners a little bit about the well-being and state of mind, because you see a lot of people.
Absolutely. And we're always encouraging individuals. And for everybody, it's different. But some of the other initiatives that we do get people involved with, painting. Maybe it's physical fitness. Maybe it's just taking 5 minutes to breathe and think. Setting boundaries for yourself.
Yeah.
Making sure, maybe it's work. Maybe you really enjoy what you do. So we always try our best to get individuals looking outside the box, because those are the things, like you mentioned, prevention. Those are the things that really contribute to a healthier state of mind, where you can make better decisions and avoid falling into the trap of having that be a serious issue in your life. Sometimes people go straight for the education route of, okay, this drug will do this to you, alcohol, over, you know, doing too much alcohol, drinking too much alcohol will do this to you, etc. Sometimes that will work, but often we found it's more the foundational protective pieces that you build that help in the long run.
Yeah. Well, for our listeners who are tuning in, our guest today is Tara Gibson with the Hassell Foundation and the All Black Impact Foundation, and Stanley Breeze with the Brevard Prevention Coalition. He's the executive director. Tara, same question to you. You see a lot of young people. what is the driving force behind a lot of these people falling behind?
I think lack of education and then lack of commitment and discipline. And so, you know, to mention what our camps we're going to do too for the kids portion, we're going to have a mental health station for them to break that down. What does mental health mean to you at where you are, right? And we're going to focus on asking for help. Because like you said, we have to remove the stigma. We're going to have SPCA is going to be there with dogs, for therapy dogs. So, yes, it is pet friendly, so you can bring your pets out to talk about how therapy dogs can help. We're going to have a self-defense station there. Like you said, a lot of kids are dealing with trauma and things of that sort. So self-defense station will be there, overcoming obstacles station, and a motivation station where they spend time with these players. We're having six NFL players coming in. Donating their time, and so they're going to spend time talking to these NFL players, asking them, how did you make it, how did you get through, just having that one-on-one time. So we're going to do the educational stations first, and then we're going to move into the football stuff first, right? We're going to feed them the medicine, and then we're going to move into the fun. But we make it fun for them when they're doing those stations. So we think, like, this is just a starting point for us, but to help them know that this is, it's not a stigma anymore. It's fun to learn about this and fun to make those adjustments within your life.
And I want to repeat, too, that in addition to that, there'll be tons of community resources out there on at tables and stations people can go to. And, Tara, I hope I didn't say Tiffany Child's name wrong earlier.
No, you said it right.
Okay. Well,
and here's the other thing, too. Like, let's say you have a child who came and likes karate. But when he goes home and he has the phone number, but he doesn't have the resources, no disposable income in that family for him to actually do karate for 3 or 4 months. Do we have people that are donating that? How can the community help? What is the website people can go on to donate a few bucks, even if they feel like they can't be there physically? They could send some money.
MoveIntoLight.org.
Yes, you speak in our language, Sita. Send the money.
Yes. And I see Allie has a quick question. Allie, you're raising your hand. You have something to ask him really quick?
No.
There you go.
I start to, and then the question gets answered before I get an opportunity to ask it.
Great minds think alike again.
We're covering everything.
So it's perfect.
Yeah. We definitely need sponsors. I really ask everyone, business owners, anybody, to please go to MoveIntoLight.org to sponsor it. You made a good point. If you can't come in person, you can always support us in that way.
Yeah, because, you know, people might say, well, I'm busy, I'm doing something. Oh, we'll send a few bucks. Because you've met kids like that.
Yes.
Where they like something so much, and they're like, oh, but I don't have the $300 to pay. Or maybe that you could have a summer camp for them, and the child could go for a week of summer camp. Do you do things like that?
Yes, we can make arrangements like that. We have several partnerships with organizations in the Titusville area, like Boys to Men with Purpose. He has a mentoring program that is excellent. And there's another group there that does things with the young men. So those are groups that we partner with to give those funds to help support the kids that can't afford it.
Right. And Stanley, are you looking for volunteers to help you with your organization?
We are. Please email us at info@brevardprevention.org. And I think the motivational edge will be out there, too. So you're right, Tara. We're going to have a lot of opportunities for kids to get involved with things. But please, info@brevardprevention.org and moveintolight.org is the website for info.
Ellen, take it away.
So excited. Another fantastic show, Sita, and great community events that are going on. So make sure that you get connected. And if you know somebody that needs to be connected, make sure that you get them involved. Of course, you can go to the Brevard Prevention Coalition. If you forget everything else, go there. You'll be able to get guided to the right direction. Once again, thank you so much for another great edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And folks, we will see you next week right here on F1510 WWBC. At 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.